ask the Lord's blessings. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for a place to come out of the weather, Lord, and what a great thing we have in this country, and the missionaries all over the world. Some of them have places to be able to do services and praise the Lord, and some of them, they just have to gather together out in the woods, Lord. And Father, we pray, we thank you for that, and we pray for those that are that don't have it so fortunate, that you would just give them grace and give them grace to keep pressing forward, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for that. And Father, now we pray that you would just help us, open our eyes, let us have open hearts and open ears to your words, and so we can better understand them, better walk with thee, and maybe we might be applying something wrong, that we should be applying it a different way, and we pray that you show us those ways, and we pray these things for Christ's sake, amen. Okay. When you're breathing, and you can hear it go, you got to lower it down on the tie a little, that's all. All right, we left off in Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. We'll start off in verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Jesus is, what's he done here? He's went through the cornfields. He's eaten corn with his disciples on the Sabbath day, right? He's healed on a Sabbath day. He's helped somebody out on a Sabbath day. And the Pharisees, they want to destroy him because of that. And so they've rejected his message. They've rejected the confirmation, which was the sign, the confirmation to his message, to his words. And they've held a council. Council is a bad word in the Bible, right? Every time somebody holds a council, it's usually bad. And so they want to destroy Jesus Christ. They've rejected him. Now, these are the leaders that have rejected him. The people, you're going to see they follow him, especially those that are sick that know Jesus is going to heal them. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is, they're going to follow him to get their ailments healed. And so, but the leaders represent the nation, right? We know that. God gives a nation the leaders they deserve. And if it wasn't for the people, the leaders would be different, right? So if the people's got it in their heart to have these type of leaders, the Lord's going to give it to them. Verse 15, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Okay, so Jesus, he's all knowledge. I mean, he's all knowing. He knows when somebody's out to get him, and he's practicing what he's preached to his disciples. And he's being harmless as a dove, wise as a serpent. He's withdrawing himself, and he's going somewhere where he can get something accomplished. Right. So he knows they've rejected him. Verse 16, verse 16. And he charged them that they should not make him known. Now notice, he does not want Israel to get the message anymore. At this time, because of their rejection, they've already rejected it. How many times does the gospel message, how many times does that come to somebody before it doesn't come anymore? Anybody ever think about that? How many times are we going to get that gospel message to somebody and they don't want to hear it and they don't come anymore? And thank God that God doesn't want everyone in the whole world to not know him, because he could hide himself from everyone, folks. And he's showing you that he can hide. He can get out of the situation. He can make himself invisible to people. And people don't even know he's there. He can walk right through the midst of a crowd. And he can make himself not known. He could hide himself from the whole world, but he doesn't. He makes himself known. And just think, folks, of the shape that this country would be in if he just withdrew himself from this country. And he doesn't have to withdraw himself, folks. People are kicking him right out the door. Give people enough space, give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves. But once that Jew set in his heart to destroy Jesus, that was the last straw, or the straw that breaks the camel's back, the common saying. And Jesus is now done showing that Jew anything, and he's getting ready to tell that Jew that the Gentiles are going to get in on the mercies of God, which they would have gotten in on to begin with, right? If that Jew would have been doing what he was supposed to be doing, which was evangelizing the Gentile nations. Think about it. They were supposed to be doing that. They were going to get Jesus' message regardless. But because they rejected the message and they didn't want to take the message to the Gentiles, Jesus has to do it himself. But the Gentiles were always intended upon getting the message. And so Jesus, he says here, he charged them that they should not make him known, right, to the Jews. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." The Jews weren't doing it, so Jesus has to do it. And so if the Jew would have been evangelizing like they were supposed to be doing, Jesus wouldn't have to go to the Gentiles. He wouldn't have to, because the Jews would have done it for him. And just as the Holy Spirit came upon all the Old Testament prophets for their ministry, the ministry that God had for them, so the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus for the ministry God has for him. And that was first to come unto his own, right? And then go to the Gentiles, right? John 1. John 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Let me look there. Put that there. John 1. We all know this verse, but we'll go there in turn so I don't misquote it. The Bible says he came unto his own. Verse 11, John 1, 11. We'll start off in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so he came unto his own rejected him. So then he's given the message to the Gentiles. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so there are some times, even now, that the Spirit of God will come upon somebody and maybe give them extra power to deliver a message, right? And maybe more evident than, you know, just being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You'll know that the Spirit is giving you power to do something. And sometimes it's not always easy to go out on the streets, and it's not always easy to preach on a street corner. I remember when I first started, man, I was scared to death, right? Now I could go out on a street corner, it doesn't matter. You know the Lord's going to be there, he's going to give you boldness. But before, when I was first starting out going on the streets, it was tough. And man, I was praying, "Lord, give me boldness," because man, I didn't want to talk to anybody. And I was afraid what people were going to say, and afraid, and they were. I mean, they were yelling at you, swearing at you. I mean, a lot of times, there was a couple times over at this adultery bookstore that people would come out of their car and get up right in your face and threaten you. I've been threatened down in Lafayette by a black guy wanting to beat me up. I forget what I said to him. I said, "Go ahead, do whatever you want to do. I mean, I'm going to heal, right, unless you kill me. I'll heal." And I never forget that my brother, Me and my brother Frank were arguing one time, and I did the same thing to him. I was threatening to beat him up or something. And he goes, "Go ahead, I'll heal. And I just remember that when that black guy wanted to beat me up. And he just looked at me, and it kind of scared him, and he left. But sometimes the Lord will give you, he'll come upon you, give you extra power. You'll feel it there. And more evident than other times, right? And that's what the Lord does. He comes upon you for the ministry he has for you. And so what does the Holy Spirit do? What does the Holy Spirit do? John 16. John 16, keep your hand there. I'm going to go ahead and read this verse one more time. Verse 18, "Behold my servant," verse 18, "whom I have chosen," right? "My beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." John 16:8. Bible says, we'll start off in verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and he seen me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." The prince of this world is judged. And so the Holy Spirit is going to show that everyone is going to get judged. Matthew 18, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." And so the Holy Spirit is going to show judgment, right? He's going to show that everyone will get judged for the sins that they have committed against God. For all have sinned, right? That's what he shows us. And come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he shows that Jesus Christ is righteous. And he's going to show that Jesus took the place for your judgment. And he took the place for the world's judgment, right? And that's what he's going to show. And then those that trust in him, in Jesus, he's going to show, he's going to point to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's going to point to Jesus. Those that trust in him, they're going to escape the judgment, right? Because Jesus took that judgment. He was already judged for our sins. He took that. He made the payment for that. And so you judge yourself, you'll not get judged. Same thing with the judgment seat of Christ. Hey, if you judge yourselves here, you'll be able to get the reward that was entitled to you, that he had for you. But if you don't judge yourselves, you won't do the good. And you'll do the bad. And the reward that you could have gotten for doing that good, you'll lose. That's the reward that you'll lose. The stuff that you've done good with, you can't lose. He's already guaranteed that. And so you can lose the stuff that you were entitled to, but you chose to do the bad, or you can choose to do the good and secure that reward in heaven, right? That's what he talks about when he's talking about that loss. Verse 19, "He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. When Jesus came unto his own, he was meek and lowly." He didn't strive. He was a gentleman. He told them who he was. He had the signs to back up what he said and to confirm the word, and yet they rejected. Did Jesus cry when they beat upon him and crucified him? No, he didn't cry. Acts 8:32. The Bible says when they were coming after him and accusing him and beating on him, he didn't cry out. 8:32, the Bible says, um, He was led as sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Right? Do lambs cry out when they know they're going to get slaughtered? I don't know. I thought they cry out. And it says, but like they, when they're getting sheared, they don't cry out, right? I don't know. I never had one. But the Bible says, what does it say there? He didn't say anything. He held his peace. He kept his mouth shut. Maybe. Brother, do you know how to shear sheep? Do they cry out when you shear them? But I guarantee you, when they know... But yeah, he held his peace. He never said anything. He was like when he went to the shearer and he was getting led to the slaughter. And he didn't say anything. Held his peace. And so he didn't cry out. After the Israel rejected him, has Jesus' voice been heard in the streets of Jerusalem? No, he hasn't been there. He's at the right hand of the Father. And he's not going to do that. The Bible says he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Kings 14. There we're going to see Israel. Israel, 1 Kings 14. The Bible says in verse 15, "For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger." Provoking the Lord to anger. So Israel is called a reed here. Now when Jesus shows up, did he break Israel? No. No, and instead, Israel broke Jesus Christ. They crucified him. He didn't do anything to them. But when Jesus comes back the second time, it'll be the other way around. When the fullness of Gentiles become in, then there'll be a falling away. Matthew chapter 12, verse 20. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And so there'll be a falling away. And those that fall away, to me, folks, there's a reason why the Bible doesn't say rapture. They don't get raptured out, right? They are caught, but they're caught up. And if you're falling away from the earth, then it doesn't matter where you are on the earth, you're up. Think about that. The earth is round. No matter which way you go, you're going up. And I believe that there's a reason why that the Bible doesn't say that we're raptured out of here. I think it's in 1st, is it 2nd Thessalonians? 1st Thessalonians. Let's look at 1st Thessalonians 4. Yeah. Verse 17. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so why are we getting caught? Why are we getting caught? We're getting caught up. Right? If you fall away from a standing position, folks, you're leaving a place. You're leaving a place of... you could fall away from the truth. You could fall away from the earth. I think sometimes we're a little dogmatic of what the Bible says, but except there come a falling away first, right? The man of sin isn't going to be revealed. And unless we leave this earth, man of sin isn't going to be revealed. And so we sometimes the Bible's very specific in the wording. We don't ascend up. We rise. The dead in Christ shall rise first. What are they rising from? They're rising from the dead. But then it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Right? So there's a rising from the dead, and then there's a catching up. So if you're falling away, you're going up, and the Lord's catching you. You're caught up. But anyway, let's see what we have here. So at the same time we leave, the Lord starts his dealings with the nation of Israel again. And he breaks them, folks. He breaks them. And he's going to quench the smoking flax at that time. After he breaks them, he's going to quench that by adding oil. When you have a smoking flax, it's because there's no flame there. There's no oil sucking into that wick, and it smokes. But when there's oil on the wick, when there's oil in the bottle, and the wick is full of oil, there's a flame. Right? And so the Bible says in Matthew 12, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. So he's got to send forth judgment upon the Jew, right? And when he does that, the Gentiles are going to be taken out. That's the time of Jacob's trouble. Judgment. It's judgment. And so at that time, he's going to break that nation of Israel. As a bruised reed shall he not break till, but he's going to break them. And then he's going to quench the smoking flax by adding oil. He's going to add the Holy Spirit there. Ezekiel 36:27, at the end of the tribulation, he's going to give them a new spirit. Ezekiel 36. Verse 27. We'll start off in 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And so the judgment Jesus is sending is the great tribulation, or Jacob's trouble. And that judgment, folks, will result in victory when Jesus shows up again in their streets. And that's something. And so he's sending forth judgment, but it's unto victory. And he's going to get the victory, and Israel is going to be saved, and they're going to have a new heart, and they're going to have his Holy Spirit inside of them. And that'll quench that smoking flax. It won't smoke anymore. It'll burn. It'll be a fire. Verse 21, Matthew 12:21. The Bible says, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Why? Because, verse 18, he showed judgment unto the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are going to trust Jesus. They're going to trust his name. Verse 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake. Folks, it's important to understand that not all physical ailments are caused by a devil, right? Not all blind men and not all dumb men have a devil. But these here did. These here did. Verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake. And verse 23, and all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" The crowd that was with him were wanting to believe in Jesus, right? And they were wanting to believe in him as their Messiah. But the leaders they had over them, they didn't want them to believe that, folks. And they were doing everything in their power to talk them out of their thoughts. And that's why Jesus is eventually killed. Because they saw the effect that he was having on the people. And they didn't want to lose the control they had over the people. That's the rulers of Israel. And so they said the same thing back in Matthew 9:32. Watch what they say. "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils.'" So basically, they're saying, "You're doing this by the power of Beelzebub." Verse 25, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. United we stand, divided we fall.'" Right? That's one of this country's models, isn't it? Mottos. "Divided we stand, united we stand, divided we fall." And so every kingdom that has fallen is the same, folks. They were divided in some way. They were divided against itself. You know why churches divide or split? Because you have one portion of people that believe one thing so strongly that they don't want to let that belief go. And then you have another set of people, portion of people that believe so strongly in another way. Right? And it probably has nothing to do with the Bible. It's probably some tradition that one person wants to hold, or one group wants to hold, and the other group doesn't want to hold to that tradition. Or it could be on some doctrinal thing, but 9 times out of 10 it's for some silly thing. And so sometimes, folks, you don't even see the split happening, right? You see one family leaves here, and you see one person leaves here, and you see another person leave there, and all of a sudden your church is dwindling, and you didn't even realize what had happened, right? So subtle. And that's how usually churches do split. They don't just split half and half. It's usually one at a time here, one at a time there. This guy don't like the preaching. This guy don't like what this guy said. This guy don't like what this person thinks. And it just goes on and on and on. What was one of the things Jesus came to do? Luke 12, and we're almost done. Luke 12. Verse 51. "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be 5 in one house divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Folks, you're either on Jesus' side or you're with mommy and daddy's beliefs, right? God doesn't want unity amongst ourselves. He's never wanted that. He's never wanted that. And because that's very dangerous when you get a bunch of people having unity amongst themselves and it's not centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a dangerous situation. And that's why God created the languages at Babel. Because everybody was united. They were getting united. So he had to split them up some way. And so if you're stuck on the same beliefs in one big group, and then you're alien and you're alienated from God, and you're alienated from Christ, then people aren't getting saved. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he's come to be a divider. He wants to divide that unity up and get you either on his side or your own personal agenda side. But he wants to give people a chance. And when people are united in one idea and it's against God, there's no chance for anybody. So he splits it up. Matthew 12, 26. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? With the devil's kingdom here on earth, it'll be brought to desolation eventually, folks. The devil has the kingdom of this earth. And eventually that will be brought to desolation. Why? Because it's divided against itself. How? Because the devil will go through any means he can to deceive a person, even if it means that his own devils are casting out devils. Think about it. If you had a bunch of children, and those children were picking on each other, right? Or they were just playing around, messing around, you'd be like, they're just playing. They're just having some fun. And you don't really give it too much thought. But when somebody else's kid comes into that kid's family and starts messing with one of the kids there, now you have a problem. Now it's not playing anymore. Now that person is against your little boy. And that's the same thing you have with the devil's children and God's children. The devil doesn't care if his own children play around, right? But he does when God's children are casting out devils out of the devil's children. He doesn't like that. And so we gotta look out for that. Hey, Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself, and his kingdom isn't gonna stand. We know his kingdom's not gonna stand. And we know that there's people casting out devils that aren't saved. Matthew 7:22-23. The devil doesn't care about his children casting them out, but he cares if God's children are casting them out. Verse 27, and we'll be done. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Notice, Jesus even answers the Pharisees' thoughts, right? But they never answer his questions. They never answer his question. He puts them in a catch-22. He says, how do you feel about your children casting out devils? Are they doing it by the devil as well? That's a loaded question, right? Jesus has a way of just asking questions that nobody can answer. And so Jesus not only answers their thoughts, but he answers their, they never answer him. And they never think before they speak. Why? Because their hearts are that depraved, right? Their hearts are so wicked that they're out to get Jesus no matter what the cost. They don't care. They don't care about loaded questions. They just don't answer them. But they're always accusing them of something wrong. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, we thank you that you've given them to us. And we pray now for those that are traveling in this weather, Lord, that you keep them safe and you keep them safe from going as they go home tonight. And Father, we pray that the play would be a blessing to those, especially the unsaved, that they would see their need for salvation, Lord, and that they would trust you, for their salvation, Lord. And we pray these things for Christ's sake, amen. Did I have any more in there? Mm-hmm.